More than ever, we're asking you if you are ready for the new world order.
And you're right to worry about the midterms. Given the history of totalitarianism, there's no reason to believe that the midterms, which will deliver a resounding defeat to the Biden administration, are going to be allowed to unfold without an emergency.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with Michelle Bachman. There are several major issues in the world today that should be of importance to all believers. Jan and Michelle try to address these issues and bring clarity to them in this uninterrupted hour. Here is today's programming.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very, very good morning on what is the first official day of World Government Summit here at Dubai Expo. And the title of this session, Are We Ready for a New World Order? Well, the organizers here are nothing if not ambitious. This is, I think you will agree, a daunting subject for discussion at just after 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning.
So glad you can join me. Understanding the Times Radio, we look at news, views, and truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And the first clip you heard as the program just began was Naomi Wolf. She's talking about potential crises coming up that would affect the midterm election. We will talk about that. And then you heard Becky Anderson ask, are you ready for the new world order? So folks are not the least bit bashful about talking about global government and all that goes with it. And my guest for the hour is Michelle Bachman. She was with me a few weeks ago, right after the start of the war in Ukraine. I had her for just a limited time back then, but not so today, so we're going to try to hit a number of relevant topics. She and I would agree that we have not seen such stunning daily events, hourly, in our entire lifetime. Michelle represented Minnesota's 6th District starting in 2007, and she ran for President of the United States in 2012. Retired from Congress in 2015, she's presently the Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. And she left Congress in 2015. She resides here in Minneapolis-St. Paul, as do I. We've worked together closely for years now. Michelle, thank you for coming back into the studio again today.
Jan, thank you so much. I was really struck by Becky Anderson from CNN and her opening saying, are you ready for New World Order? Yeah. It was very clear from the giddy tone in her voice and the content of what was about to be presented at the World Government Summit that they understand the full portent of how audacious their plan is. Their plan is to upend the entire world system, what we know as life today. They're excited about it. This has been in the works for a long time, obviously planned. And they're saying the time is now, and they're audacious about it.
You actually had a conference here very recently. This was at Regent University, Globalism Rising, Authoritarianism, and the Demise of Civil Liberties. And I'm going to refer to that here throughout the hour, but let me ask you a personal question or two. And my audience knows that you've been involved in various things from Congress and running for president. You've been involved in the United Nations. Now you're involved at Regent University. But do you ever regret leaving Congress, which you left, I believe, January 1st, 2015? Ever regret that?
No, I don't, because the Lord called me in to run and he called me out very specifically and let me know that my time there was done. And so I left voluntarily.
Obviously, you're watching the sideshow of Washington today. And if you could go back and be a representative or even a senator, what would you say to your colleagues today? We have a world gone mad, United States gone mad, Congress, I think, functioning in a completely aberrant manner, or dysfunctional, I think we could say. What would you say to them?
If I could stand up in the front of the Republicans for 5 minutes, I would tell them about the urgency of the hour. That is the most important thing. We are literally watching the twilight of Western civilization. Mm-hmm. My Republican colleagues, I don't have the sense that they understand how little time we have left to hold on to this nation. I would say that someone from the House of Representatives needs to say now to the whole American people, I'm going to run to be the new Speaker of the House. I'm going to run to be the new President of the Senate. and they need to give the 12 to 15 things that they're going to do mm-hmm. to fix this country. That's what people are looking for. Who in D.C. is going to fix this country and do it urgently, as audacious as this Becky Anderson was at the World Government Summit? Mm-hmm. That's how audacious the Republicans and conservatives need to be about their plans to turn the nation around. We don't have the luxury of time. I am shocked at how fast Joe Biden and the administration
yeah.
has destroyed this country. You can almost destroy a country in less than a year and a half.
All right. Not by accident, by design.
Yes. And you know that because nobody's too upset about inflation gone out of control. These are really bad times for a lot of people with terrible crime problems and the border being essentially open.
Exactly.
They're not upset. They have the worst numbers anyone has ever seen for metrics on how the country's doing. They don't care.
They don't care.
They're going along because collapsing us is what they plan. Because this takes us into their dreams of the green climate
Correct.
Change movement, one world government. This is exactly what they want to happen. They want to see America collapse and fall, so we're forced into a one world system of government.
And you put on a conference, which I saw every speaker. Folks, you can access it by going to regent.edu/globalism. Regent.edu/globalism. You had some fantastic messages. I actually played Dr. Ed Heinsohn last weekend, played his entire message that he gave at your event. You had Bill Federer, you had Leo Homan, you had Senator Rand Paul, you had a number of others. And the title was Globalism Rising, Authoritarianism and the Demise of Civil Liberties. And I want to touch on a few of those things. And one who's really outspoken on this, she's a leftist who sort of had a reawakening. And I played Naomi Wolf to open the program. Let me just read the quote of Wolf. She says, 2020 was the story. It launched a narrative. The narrative is you can restrain billions of people, lock them in their homes, inject them against their will, mask them against their will, destroy their economies, suppress all their human rights. But if the narrative said COVID, that was the plausible deniability that you weren't an outright fascist tyrant. And then she concludes, and you're right not to worry about the midterms. Given the history of totalitarianism, there's no reason to believe the midterms that will deliver a resounding defeat to the Biden administration are going to be allowed to unfold without an emergency. And if that emergency keeps us all at home, all the better. 2 weeks ago on my programming, I featured the whole issue of programmable money, the new form of money system that's coming. Don't want to dwell a whole lot on that. We spent an hour on that. But I'd like your thoughts on her statement that there's going to have to be a crisis that's going to affect the midterms, which is not that far away now. Give me your thoughts on that.
Everyone knows that all things being equal, the Republicans will take back both the House and the United States Senate. Why? Because over 70% of people polled in the United States don't like the policies that Joe Biden has put into place. When you look at what inflation will do to people's mm-hmm. pocketbooks by this November, it'll probably be numbers even higher than that. So what Naomi Wolf is saying is there's got to be something. COVID certainly was a front and a pretext for the most dramatic restrictions on personal freedoms we've ever seen in this country. We must never let that happen again. No matter what the crisis is, we cannot let the government mask our children and take away our liberties and force us to be injected against our will. We need to find our voice, and we need to find more people to stand with us, and we need to say no to a tyrannical authoritarian government.
Well said. I want to play a clip. It's of Leo Homan. It's at your event, which again was a few weeks ago now, available still online.
Gas prices, $4 a gallon, that's not by accident. Food prices soaring and eventually food shortages. None of that will be an accident. They've already foretold it. They must collapse the U.S. dollar-based global economy before they can fully implement the Great Reset, the crowning achievement of which will be a digital global money system and a digital global ID system. That's when you have the final phase of the Great Reset and the onset of the long-coveted New World Order. Whether they are successful or not depends on you. Will you blindly walk into their trap during the next crisis, or will you resist?
That was Leo Holman, investigative journalist and one of your speakers at your conference. Frankly, I couldn't pick a favorite of all that you featured. But Leo is just so to the point. And hey, folks, wake up. This is the New World Order staring us in the face. And I think what makes today so different, and particularly since you were in Congress, again, you left in 2015, is today America isn't leading. Whoever would have thought that America would fall not just a little bit behind in leadership, but vanish from leadership?
Well, we vanished, and I can tell you that from a foreign policy perspective. I formerly sat on the Intelligence Committee. My seatmate was Mike Pompeo. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the world is roiling right now. There's a tremendous vacuum in the Middle East. New alliances are being formed as we talk. The world is a much more dangerous place than it was before because of uncertainty. What investors like financially is certainty in the marketplace. People make a lot more money if there's certainty. We're living in a time of great uncertainty because the United States voluntarily turned itself into the weak horse nation. We abandoned being the strong horse. And I said this on your program a long time ago, that I believe this last year we saw the United States fall out of its top status with the economy, the leading economy of the world. But I also believe last August in Afghanistan, the United States rendered itself the weak horse militarily. If you are not the economic superpower, you cannot be the military superpower. I believe that now people look at the United States, they can't quite grapple with the fact of our new status. Saudi Arabia is mocking us on TV. Israel still can't believe it, that the United States won't be there to have their back. Everyone is asking questions. No one knows what to do. And when that is the case, that speaks volumes that we are the weak horse on the world stage. And of course, that appears to be the absolute objective, hitting the bullseye of the Biden administration to take America down.
This happens to be you at your globalism event. Let's play this clip, come back and talk about it.
All over the world, people are asking the same question. What has happened to America? It's almost an understatement to say that our country has dramatically changed. And people are asking, will we ever go back to the way we were 18 months ago when gasoline was $1.89 a gallon? But changes are happening even beyond America. It's not just in this nation. In the Western nations, suddenly and simultaneously, we're seeing globalism and authoritarianism rising. This is unprecedented in modern times, and it has left America without, in some cases, our constitutionally guaranteed rights of freedom of speech, freedom of worship, assembly, and the right to petition our government for our grievances, and the right to determine what goes into our bodies.
Michelle, you asked there a question, and I don't think it was a rhetorical question. You said, will we ever go back to normal? I'm going to jump in and say, no way, impossible. I don't care if a Republican administration comes in, I say we don't go back to normal. Your thoughts?
The globalists have made a decision that we will never go back because as you played with Becky Anderson in the beginning clip, they are so excited because they know they're going to completely upend our lives, beginning with a new global currency and then a new global accounting system. Restricting access to capital. You cannot have successful business without access to capital. There will be restrictions on access to capital when our federal government or a central global bank controls capital because people who are out of favor can't get capital. This is a complete upending of the world order. How do we get it back within America if we can remain a sovereign nation, if we can change a political mindset and a political will? Then we could maybe come back. But the globalists, those who were meeting, and again, my conference was March 29th. We were the day before the World Summit Forum. Essentially, the speakers at our conference said the day before exactly what the World Summit speakers said. That verifies what our speakers were saying. They knew exactly what these people are planning. They are planning that the new normal is authoritarianism, is globalism, where they tell us what we get to have, what we get to eat. The week before my conference, Bill Gates said that Americans need to get used to the fact that 100% of Americans, his word, will no longer be eating meat, we're going to be eating synthetic beef and that we'll get used to it. And so how audacious could you be? Who do you think you are? I don't care if you're one of the richest men in the world. You have no right to tell anyone what we get to eat. This is how audacious they are. And they believe that we have no way to get out of the net that we're caught in, which is globalism, authoritarianism.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio familiar voice of Michelle Bachmann. She served in the U.S. Congress from 2007 to 2015 and has done legions of things since leaving Congress. We're talking about zeroing in on a couple of things that I think are totally astounding. And I don't want to quite leave the World Government Summit, which, as she said, took place the day following her special summit called Globalism Rising. You find that at regent.edu/globalism. So going back to this World Government Summit 2022 and the globalist group and the question they asked, are you ready for a new world order? We played that. Asserted that the world is on the brink of a dramatic change from the traditional system of money to a new digital system enforced by world superpowers. And I'll play Pippa Mulgren in just a moment or two. They were so bold at that event. They were so upfront. They were so unashamed.
For years, they met every 6 months at Davos,
right,
Switzerland, where nobody could get access.
Yeah.
No media was allowed in. So all their planning stages was completely under cover of darkness. Now they're announcing to the world
what's going
to happen. Things like worldwide food shortages, famines, global cyber attacks. They're already making these kinds of announcements, and they're making the announcement of the new world order.
And this, folks, I played this clip 2 weeks ago. She's an economist and a globalist.
From the London School of Economics, which is Fabian socialist.
And this is Pippa Malmgren. You may recognize the clip, but it is so important. It is worth the replay. And she's basically going to say, cash is trash, and there's a new way of doing money that's going to be here in a blink.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private. But what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Michelle Bachmann, how do you think this will transition into reality?
Trust me, no one will voluntarily give up their money.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, it's never going to happen. The only way that it could happen is through a crisis. What she just said is probably one of the most astounding things I have ever heard in my life, that the entire world will be moving to digital currency. There's a sense of privacy. There can be private transactions that occur between people if you have cash money. What they're saying is it's the end of banking because there wouldn't be banks. There would only be central banks, whether that's the United States or whether that's a global bank. But just think, even if it's the federal government, that means there's no local banks. You can't get a loan from a local bank. Mm-hmm. You'd have to go to the federal government if you want a loan.
Okay.
It's programmable money, which means the government decides how much money you can have to spend and if you can spend it in certain stores. We don't know if there'd be a direct translation. Let's say I have $20,000 in the bank. If there's a cyber attack, will I have $20,000 still in a cyber bank account? The other thing that she said is accounting goes away. What do you mean? The whole accounting system goes away? Just like Bill Gates just said, the entire ag industry for livestock is going to go away. Now your accounting is going to go away? Sure, she says, because the global system will know virtually every transaction I make. Why? Because of what Leo Holman said. We'll each have a digital identity, and that digital identity will be given X amount of digital currency to be spent where the central authority says I can spend it. If you want an example of that, that's China today.
Yes.
That's why they have digital passports today with social credit scores to decide how much money do I get to spend and where. All they want to do is just take that Chinese tyrannical dictatorial system and then translate it across the globe. This is all about control. It isn't that you're going to have a better system of money. Trust me, it'll never be better. It'll only be worse because it puts all control into the hands of a central authority, whether it's America or whether it's global or whether it's China. We lose control. In the history of man, we have never lived under that level of control.
But will the leader of this kind of control then be the Antichrist? Probably. This is a lead up to it. The church is never going to meet Mr. Antichrist.
No, and we don't know how this will play out. We can only speculate because we're basing it off of what they write and what they say. Yeah. So let's say there is a cyber attack. In other words, all banking goes down, all financial systems go down. And then I would imagine you'd have some speeches from a couple of different individuals saying, don't panic. We're going to take care of you. We'll make sure you have food and water. We're just going to switch now because we obviously can't trust the old system. Overnight, they'll have their new system, and that'll be the way it is. But one thing I want to add, it sounds profoundly frightening, is that we have no control over this. If this is going to happen, this is going to happen. This is where the God of the Bible comes in, Jan. We are about to see the greatest times of our lives. We're going to see miracles. We are going to see the provision of God. We're going to see the promises of God come true. God says in his word that his people don't go begging bread. We can take him to the bank on that because we can trust him in his word. I think we're about to see the flowering of the promises of God. He is a trustworthy God, and we will see more than ever before in our lives because this is the greatest time to be alive in all of human history. We have a redeemer. We have a rescuer. He will rescue us at his appointed hour. And for whatever turmoil that we may go through, we understand he has not abandoned us. Though the world powers may come in, like Psalm 2 says, they've got all of their plans. What's God doing? He's sitting on his throne laughing. And it's because he knows that he has us. In the book of Jude, it says he holds us in the palm of his hand. If there's a cyber attack, if we move into digital currency, remember, we will be in the palm of his hand. We will not beg bread. He will have us. That's why we need to stand on the promises of his word.
Thank you for that, Michelle. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell talking today with Michelle Bachman. I'm just going a little different direction here for a moment or two, Michelle. And all of us, as we speak, are grieving over these scenes from the various media outlets about what's happening to innocent people in Ukraine. Not suggesting that one government, such as Ukraine's government, is more righteous than Vladimir Putin, though I can't imagine a more evil person than Vladimir Putin and what he's doing to innocent civilians. Could America be doing more to put this to an end?
I don't think so. Other than us going in and fighting the war for Ukraine, I think that the United States government has been extremely generous in the aid that we have been sending both humanitarian and militarily. To me, none of this makes sense. I don't see that Putin had to go in and do this. It's all being played out like this is a scene from World War II, from the buildup to the current way that it's being prosecuted. It's being fought like a World War II war. That isn't what we just did in Afghanistan. That isn't what we just did in Iraq. We did a modern war. This isn't a modern war.
Then how do you explain it?
I can't explain it. It looked phony at the very beginning. Okay. As I look at it now, there is no reason that this hasn't settled. There were some words from Putin that he wanted to settle. Hey, all you have to do, Zelensky, is just admit I've got Crimea. Putin does have Crimea right now. He's saying, just admit I have Crimea, and then I'm going to have control over these Russian-speaking eastern parts of Ukraine. Okay, done. But then we're all told, oh, but then he's going to get greedy. He's going to want Poland. He's going to want the rest of Ukraine. I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I don't, because Russia is in a demographic death spiral.
Yes,
they're having
they
to send in elderly now to fight the war because it's just not Russians. They haven't been producing more Russians. I don't see this thing protracting and going on. It's not a wealthy state. It's not a highly populated state, Russia. They should have had a lot more success than what they had. It's been pretty bumbling. The whole thing makes zero sense. And we're responding in the way that we should. No one ever wants to see anyone suffer. But this was intentionally started. It can be intentionally ended. Zelensky could end it today if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. He's not ending it. He's saying, no, I want Crimea. What about your country that is completely in shambles right now? This is not ours to solve. We've done everything that we could. And what I'm seeing more than anything is the media outlets, who are the effective arm of these globalists, are saying, come on, America, get involved, because we get the worst pictures on TV to get us involved. That's what the whole setup is. Come on, send in planes now. Now American soldiers. At this point, Biden knows he can't say American soldiers because nobody will go along with that. So I don't know where it's going to end. But war brings you into globalism.
Exactly. And I was going to raise that issue. But every listener is affected because, as we've said on this program before, it's the breadbasket of the world. It's leading to a famine. It's leading to higher gas prices.
It's leading to famine for Europe. It is not leading to famine for America. We have all that we need in America to feed ourselves. I want to assure people, gas prices at the pump have zero to do with Vladimir Putin and this Ukraine war, because we have more energy resources in America to supply all of our needs, which just was happening less than 2 years ago under Donald Trump. We supplied 100% of America's needs, and we were selling energy across the world. This war has nothing to do with inflation. The reason why we have inflation is because under the pretext of COVID, we spent $5 or $6 trillion. We spend normally $2 trillion in a year. If you spend money that you don't have, you got a big bill to pay off. So rather than that, Joe Biden has doubled down. He's vastly increasing spending. The markets see that. The money that's being printed is worthless. That's called inflation. So we have inflation and higher prices on food and at the pump simply because of what started under Donald Trump, but what's continued times 10 under Joe Biden. So the American government has to stop spending money it doesn't have. Everybody has to tighten their belt, and there's going to be pain. You can't not have pain. So think of it this way. If you went out and let's say you make $50,000 a year, but you spent $500,000 and it's gone, you got to pay that $500,000 back. That's what's happened here in America. And so we're suffering, but it has virtually nothing to do with the war in Ukraine. We just had war with Afghanistan for how many years and Iraq. We didn't have those problems under the 4 years under Donald Trump. Life was the best we'd ever seen it. So it has nothing to do with that so-called war. It has everything to do with the mistake that were made in America and are being made.
Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, talking to Michelle Bachmann, and you can reach her at Regent University. She's Dean of the Robertson School of Government. That would be regent.edu. And for her conference, it's regent.edu/globalism, which I was privileged to see each of the speakers live. You can watch them delayed now some weeks later. I think I want to hit one foreign policy issue, and then I want to go to some comments you made to me about the COVID situation, because that's certainly not over. I don't think the globalists will let it go away. But you made a statement which kind of went around the world. It was a stunning statement, which I totally agree with, by the way. This would go back to some comments you made, and I believe this was at the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in Dallas. And this topic that you were covering happened to be Iran, because we have a Biden nuclear deal with the Iranian regime that will have major benefits for the mullahs. Nobody else but the mullahs, and it's going to enrich the Iranian regime with billions of dollars. Let me just play this clip of you, and you're going to make the statement here, which is the statement that went around the world. that we're in a time of madness and we're being ruled by lawless monsters.
We live in a time of utter madness, and we're being ruled by lawless monsters. Our president announced that he will remove the IRGC, the one who is trying to kill Bolton and Pompeo here in the U.S., from the United States Department list of foreign terrorist organizations. So get this. The Iranians are trying to assassinate American officials on American soil, and they get removed from the U.S. terror list while they're actively trying to murder Americans on American soil? Our president agreed to remove sanctions on these masters of terror, and also any restrictions on Iran's nuclear program were weakened and made shorter. As soon as this deal is signed, Iran immediately will get access to $90 billion in sanctions relief. All sanctions will be lifted on Iran's energy production, which will give Iran another $50 to $55 billion, meaning Iran will get over $130 billion to spend from this deal. This money will go straight to Iran's terror programs, all with the approval of the UN Security Council and all with the approval of the United States government. Absent a miracle, within 3 years at most, we will see a nuclear Iran. Remember, some 7 years ago, the Ayatollah of Iran wrote a book that he entitled, "We Will Annihilate Israel in 25 Years." Who would ever have thought it would be the United States government who would help to make the Ayatollah's nuclear dreams to annihilate Israel come true?
Michelle Bachmann, there are secular hosts on radio and television who are saying they cannot make sense of our times. They are so confused. Even they, with a secular mindset, can see that up is down, black is white, good is evil. They certainly aren't quoting Bible verses, but they're quoting the concepts out of the Bible because everything's so out of whack. My conclusion is, which is obvious, is our national leaders, for that matter, around the world, because other countries are in favor of this Iranian nuclear deal, is they've all been given over to a reprobate mind, Romans 1. But Michelle, it seems like beyond that, they've been given over to lunacy, if I can be so blunt, because this is so nuts, what you just said and the whole concept that we're talking about.
The Iran deal is nuts. Yeah. And what wasn't put in that clip is the fact that the Iranians won't even sit down with the United States to negotiate. They won't even sit in the same room with us. That's how they view us, with such utter contempt. So Joe Biden tapped the Russians to be our negotiator with the Iranians. These are the Russians who are invading Ukraine right now. And so we're doing business with the Russians to have them be our voice. Not only are they the voice, Russia will be the ones building the nuclear facility for Iran so that they can ultimately enrich uranium for their nuclear weapons. We're putting the ones who are going to be selling the product to Iran, we're putting them in charge of negotiations. How do you think that's going to turn out? Well, it turned out the Russians came out and said, Iran got even more than what they asked for. Well, of course, because the money is going to go straight to Russia. This is the absolute pinnacle of the worst thing I've ever seen, simply because we're talking about the chief state sponsor of terrorism in the world going all the way back to 1979. Yeah. And we, the United States, are both empowering and enriching Iran, knowing that our greatest ally is Israel. And we are enriching and empowering the greatest enemy of Israel. Netanyahu said for years, this is their number one fear, that Iran would get a nuclear weapon. And we are the nation that is making that happen. And what occurred to me is that we have moved out of a place of blessing. The United States today sits in a place of cursing. Now, that's from a national perspective. We as individual believers, again, what can we do? We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to act positively in a manner of blessing toward Israel. So whatever we can do personally in our life or as a church body to bless Israel, we do that. Our nation is in a place of cursing. Individually, we need to be in a place of blessing and to trust that God, in His justice, He will see us for who we are. I believe that we will be blessed when we personally bless Israel according to the Bible, but our nation is in a place of cursing. And that's why we as believers have to cry out to God for our nation to be removed from that column.
Well, look how quickly it happened, Michelle. I would say a year and a half ago, certainly 2 years ago. Again, America was prospering, but she was prospering in part because of how we were blessing Israel.
Yes, totally.
Donald Trump, far from a perfect person, not suggesting that at all, and not that his presidency didn't have some serious flaws. But in the context of what we're talking about, he seemed to be a friend of Israel, and then all of a sudden we have an election, and look how fast this has gone off the chart into lunacy and insanity.
That's right. Both Israel and America were in the midst of the greatest blessings they'd ever had. Both of our nations had never been as well off by any measure. And everything changed. And in a prior broadcast, we talked about what happened on January 28th, 2020, in the White House when I was sitting there in the third row. And the peace plan came out. And that peace plan envisioned dividing Israel, the land, and dividing Jerusalem. And within 24 hours, Israel went from a place of blessing to a place of cursing. Within 24 hours, America went from a place of blessing to a place of cursing. Within that 24 hours, Donald Trump put Fauci in charge of the coronavirus task force, and we have been put in shackles and chains since that day.
Let's transition to that. I'm just quoting a few comments by you. You sent me what amounts to about a 2.5-page email here. Let me just quote for a couple of sentences, folks. The context is what Michelle just introduced. And you say, look, masks didn't work, lockdowns didn't work, closing businesses and schools didn't work. People willingly complied with hurting themselves and their families because Fauci told them to do it. My question is, when will we say no? These authoritarian tyrants aren't stopping, so we have to stop them. Those were your words, Michelle. But how do we stop them?
By not going along with it, by not putting masks on our little children. If it means you have to pull them out of public school and put them somewhere else, that's what you do. We have to start saying no. We have been lied to from the very beginning with this COVID thing and this whole thing about injecting into your body substances that were emergency use authorization. I don't know if that'll come back again. Moderna is talking about wanting to do more boosters. Again, it's up to every person's conscience. But Joe Biden just came out again and said that he is going to force vaccinations on federal employees. So they are not backing off of this thing, and it's time for people to push back. If everybody on a plane removes their masks, they can't enforce it. If everyone in an airport removes their mask, they can't enforce it. The only reason we are wearing masks today on planes is because of an emergency order by Joe Biden. There's no science behind it. There is not one mask that stops the transmission of the virus. The vaccine doesn't stop the transmission of the virus. It doesn't prevent you from getting COVID or from giving it to someone else. So these products don't work. So we have every reason to say, no, we will not take an injection against our will. And we have every reason to say we will not wear these masks. We need to demand that Joe Biden relinquish his emergency powers. Every governor should relinquish their emergency powers. By this point, 95% of Americans have either had COVID or they've been vaccinated. We are well beyond herd immunity. We are no longer in an emergency situation. It's done. As a matter of fact, the vaccine that people take today doesn't even match the current variant of COVID. So it makes zero sense to take anything. But what we have to do is say no. We will no longer comply.
But there are, and you would be the first to acknowledge, because we've talked about it privately, haunting sights and sounds out of particularly Shanghai, China, where they recently, and now they've lightened up a little bit over there, but they locked down 25 million people in Shanghai, China, were starving them to death because they bolted their doors so they couldn't get out. I mean, that was a frightening scenario. Is that going to multiply across many, many Chinese cities and eventually the Western world?
Well, this just happened in Shanghai, where people literally were standing on their balconies screaming because they were being bolted into their houses. That's 25 million people.
25 million.
In the state of Minnesota, the population is about 5.5 million. Yeah. So that's five Minnesota populations locked in their houses. Imagine, you need medical care.
That's
you need
right.
your pharmaceuticals. You need to have food. You need exercise. You need to see people. The Chinese government locked them.
But apparently because the Chinese government is afraid of something.
They're saying the pretext is COVID. Really? You don't think that worse things happened because of the lockdown?
Absolutely.
America was destroyed over the last 2 years because of the pretext of COVID. We've been conditioned to be like zombies, to do whatever it is that we're told. We need to reclaim our voice, reclaim our freedom, and not allow ourselves to be like a Shanghai where people are being locked in their homes. Will that happen here? I don't know. But I mean, if you have a massive cyber attack, who knows what could happen? What it says to me more than anything is that this is what tyranny does. Mm-hmm. This is what authoritarianism does. Regents Conference was the rise of global authoritarianism. It always was present in communist China, communist Russia, communist regimes, dictatorships in Muslim nations. There was always authoritarianism. What is very different is the rise of authoritarianism in the Western democracies. We were unique and we knew it. And we thank God every day we were Americans. That's why we have to push back against this authoritarianism now. And if anybody hasn't watched our conference, they should go to regent.edu/globalism and see this. It's not frightening. It's a very well done conference
well
to
done.
Explain to people this is what's going on.
You had my good friend Ed Heinzen on. I played his message last weekend here on Understanding the Times Radio, and he gave a biblical overview of what happened, of course.
That's why I wanted to lay the table for 4 hours with the geopolitical situation.
Yes.
For the purpose, the capstone was Ed Heinzen, to show this is what the Bible has to say about the days that we live in. Be ready, because the Lord is returning. So our redemption does draweth nigh.
Absolutely.
Yes, these are wicked days. This was foretold. But that's all to say, our Savior, our Redeemer, the lover of our soul, is standing at the door, ready with open arms to receive us into his own.
You say again, this is quoting you, tragically, the bureaucracy and election took over. They failed to fire Ms. Fauci and Birx and put someone like Scott Atlas in charge of COVID. This is truly tragic. You go on to say, Biden took an economic challenge and quickly moved us into tragedy. He is compromised by taking money from China. He should go to jail for that, but he won't because there is no justice in the Justice Department. And then you conclude this segment of your letter to me. There is no integrity in the Election Integrity Division, and Biden should resign. And Harris should resign. New elections should be called for this November for the presidency. Well, we know that won't happen.
No.
And that's all well said and all true. And I recall so distinctly in March of 2020 when things were just breaking. And I'm looking at this Dr. Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, knowing they're diehard, ardent leftists. And I'm thinking, why on earth are we tapping into leftists to manage the most sensitive situation that ever has hit America because of the long-term implications, in other words, shutting down businesses, etc. And we tap into a couple of leftists. It was insanity to me, but who knows? Maybe there was a reason.
No, there wasn't a reason for it because we've never before locked up healthy people.
Never.
All of us were told to stay home for 15 days to stop the spread. We're still locked up, so to speak, in a lot of different ways in our lives. So many businesses were lost. So many lost employment. Trillions of dollars were lost in earned income. It'll take years to recover. And what has happened to children, the suicides, it's tough to even talk about that. That's why I am urging your listeners that we need to get a brain and we need to get a spine and courage. And we need to say we are not going to do this. A lot of people have just gone along with the flow. Because they don't want to say anything that's going to get them into trouble. I'm just telling you, authoritarianism only goes one way. It rises. When authoritarianism rises, leading to globalism, there's only one result for the people. And that's that you lose your civil liberty. So you're never going to get more free. You're only going to get less. That's why you have to push back and say, I'm not going along with that.
You conclude some comments. Again, this was all in a long note to me, folks, and I just picked out a few sentences, and you conclude this by saying, Knowing that we are looking at the imminent return of Jesus Christ, we need to prepare spiritually, financially, emotionally, and physically. Before I head to that, I want to just cite an article I found here, which I found to be very encouraging. Ties in with the comment that you made closing this particular note to me. This is put out by Prophecy Newswatch. It's just two short paragraphs, folks. That's all I'm going to read. It says, the Joshua Fund commissioned a survey that asked respondents to answer some very specific questions about current events. Surprisingly, it turns out that a substantial portion of the population actually believes that events happening in the world today are directly related to Bible prophecy. 40% of those who replied to the survey believe what is happening could be apocalyptic. In other words, we're watching wars, we're watching the pandemic, we're watching the rise of authoritarianism, etc. And then we'll close here. Fully 4 in 10 Americans agreed that the COVID pandemic is a sign of the biblical prophecy coming to pass and of the last days. These are my comments now that God actually allows things to appear as though they're, I say it all the time, appears as though they're falling apart so that those of us who have eyes to see can watch things fall into place. And we have a front row seat, my listeners, to the final act of this drama that began in the garden so many thousands of years ago, the final act for the church. It's the rapture of the church, and it is any day. Now, I'm going back to your comment. Knowing that we are looking at the imminent return of Christ, we need to prepare spiritually, financially, emotionally, and physically. I just read some paragraphs that people in the pew are more tuned in eschatologically than we give them credit for. They're beginning to see trauma. There's got to be a reason behind one trauma after another, from pandemic to wars to you name it. How would you recommend that they begin to prepare spiritually, financially, emotionally, and physically? Now, that requires a book. But if anybody can summarize it into a few paragraphs, Michelle Bachman can.
I would say 40% of those who are surveyed is actually a fairly high number who think that we are in end times. My guess would be that the bulk of those people tend to be older people.
Could be.
Because they may have been alive during the 70s and 80s when eschatology, end time study, was a topic of discussion. It's extremely important that we teach younger people about end times and about Jesus's return. A lot of young people don't know anything about it other than dystopian movies that they've seen.
But you interact with young people on a daily basis, clearly at Regent University. Are they asking some questions?
No, I don't think that they have an understanding that Jesus is coming, that his return is imminent, and what the signs of the end times are. I think we tried to lay that table a little bit in our authoritarianism conference. So that's where some discussions began. But I think it's time to begin those discussions, because if we are solid with where we are, we need to be fully assured God will never abandon us. I mean, never. You know, as the rains fall and the winds blow, he is going to have our hand the whole time. We can go to sleep at night confident. We can wake up confident. Our God, despite everything falling apart around us, he will have us. And we can know that. But we need to be a source of strength to others, to let others know you can have a source of happiness. A, do you know the Lord? Let me tell you how you can know the Lord today. And then explain to a person, this is how you can know that Jesus is coming soon. Lay out a few reasons why Jesus is coming soon. Also, just for peace of mind, people should have a certain amount of food at home. They should have a certain amount of water. I think that people should have a certain amount of money at home. Even if overnight money becomes worthless, still, you could have a certain amount of bartering that you could do. The other thing is, if you require medications, make sure you have a couple months supply ahead if you can. Same with oxygen. If you need oxygen, have some extra oxygen takes at home if you can. Whatever you have to have that you can't live without. My husband has wounds that he deals with sometimes, and so we've got to have bandages for that. Whatever it is that you need, just put up an extra supply. I don't think that it's necessarily going to be months that we go without if there is a cyber attack. I truly think that those who grab control, they won't wait for a vacuum of time. They'll say, okay, you know, everything's going to be fine. We're going to take care of you. So if there is an outage, it'll be for a relatively short period of time. So we need to have something to keep us going. So that is from the physical point of view. Emotionally, We need to know that we shouldn't lose it. If we understand the Word of God, we don't have to lose it from an emotional level. And spiritually, we need to know who the Lord is and that this is going to happen. Jesus is coming back.
If you could give an exhortation to pastors, which in a sense you have just done that, but if you were to give another exhortation to pastors, they're dealing with frightened people on an hourly basis. And in this ministry, we're dealing with calls and emails from people who are nervous. I'll leave it at that because It ranges from hysterical to just concern and everything in between. And as you say, we need to be preparing, as you've just outlined so many ways. But as we speak, again, there are pastors who want to smooth everything out and present messages that are, I'm not saying biblical messages aren't important, they're very important, but they're not dealing with our times. They're not dealing with coping with our times. They're not dealing with the fact that the King is coming any day. How would you encourage them?
Well, I would say the same thing to pastors that was my advice for members of Congress, which was the urgency of the hour. We're looking at the twilight of Western civilization. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the twilight of this life that we know for Christ coming back. This is the most timely, topical message any pastor could have. I would suggest doing at least 1 week, but I would do 4 to 6 weeks on this message and just explain the end times. Take the fear away from people. If anyone doesn't need to fear, it's the believer in Jesus Christ. And that's for the potential immediate turmoil that could happen, but for the long haul as well. Pastors have the greatest opportunity for evangelism now and the greatest opportunity to grow their church right now, to put the facts on the table. There's all sorts of great books that you have in your own library that pastors could access to teach this exciting time. David Jeremiah has been teaching about it on his program, and people are flocking to it. So I urge the pastors, this is not an unknowable topic. It's very knowable. Instead of having your congregation freaked out and upset, you'll actually calm them, because that's what the Bible promises, that the Word actually brings peace and healing to our soul. So take God at its truth. You and I had a conversation about that. What we are going to see is how true the Bible is in every aspect. As various kings of Israel and Judah turned away from God, all the things that God said would happen to them negatively happened. But as they turned toward Him, His grace and mercy was there, and He lifted up the kingdoms. If only we would, in our own lives, in our own congregations, turn to Him and embrace the truth and power of His Word, we will see the fulfillment.
And I think I raised some of these questions to you on air here because of this one email. I'm going to read one email, folks. It's from Kim. I won't say anything else, but here's what she writes. And Michelle, the passion comes through. She says, "Hello, Jan. I am weary. I see evil everywhere," which I admit sounds a little paranoid, but is it? "The World Economic Forum, our government, heavily influenced, if not outright, all in to the globalists, even New Agers, are hitting us at every level, socially, financially, and of course spiritually. They targeted our elderly loved ones, our health-compromised ones, and of course our children." She says, "I am a nurse for a large health insurance carrier. I have seen an increase in requests for hormones and procedures to alter physical characteristics. Things I thought I would never, ever see are now so common and hardly get a shrug from people. I almost wish I were blind. I know you say, 'What did you think that the last days would look like?' But I don't know how much more these poor eyes and ears of mine can take. All that to say, my one and only hope now is the rapture. Surely He is coming for us soon. I pray so." I read Kim's email because she represents the mindset and heart of thousands of my listeners.
Yes. There isn't one thing that Kim said that is wrong. She's absolutely right. But what we know is that this takes us deeper into the Word of God, into our relationship. Remember, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not just a statue. This is a relationship. And so we need to hold on to Him, because we're in the very end of the last days. Yeah. Because remember, we know that the times will be just like a woman in labor. At the very end, it's like the room swirls around you. That's kind of where we're at right now, at the very, very end. So we just hold on. We trust Him. He is going to offer supernatural grace, mercy, and peace and provision. He will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We are looking at eternal healing. We don't unplug from this world. I want to encourage everyone. We don't unplug. We're not just sitting around waiting for the rapture. We are occupying until
Thank
he
you.
Comes.
So important.
We will be up on the roof. We'll be out in the fields. And then he'll come suddenly like a thief in the night. Praise God. Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Lord Jesus.
Reach Michelle, Regent University. That would be regent.edu. And you can find her conference, regent.edu/globalism. Again, thank you for coming in, Michelle. I'm so out of time. Let me just say, the Bible is clear and it tells us in advance what is expected. Therefore, we really shouldn't be all that alarmed because it's all outlined. All we are seeing in the world today should confirm clearly to us that God's word is 100% true. As we see all these things coming together, it should stir us to get our houses in order, to pray for the lost, and to share the gospel while we still can. No one knows the day or the hour of the return of Jesus Christ, but we do know the rapture is imminent. Our King is coming. Our redemption draws nigh. Are you ready? Remember that simple verse, Romans 10:13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on him today, won't you? Reverse the course of your life, turn it around, and you'll become a totally new creature. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God called you to be a part of this generation to shine a light in the darkness, to give someone a cup of cold water, and to tell them about eternal life available through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So, don't grow discouraged. Just know that today's events are allowing everything to fall into place.